Oh, my goodness gracious. It's wonderful to be in a place where everybody knows Jesus. Isn't it wonderful? You know, where that we all think alike. We're all children of God. We're all part of the same family. We can just work together. That statement Dave said there a while ago, just to tell you the absolute ultimate setting that when we realized how blessed we were, we had been working and we were tired and hungry, and it was about 2 or 3 o'clock, and we went over to the lumber yard to pick up a few little 2x4s and stuff to build something we were working on. And when we started to leave the lumber yard, I said, Dave, it's about 3 o'clock. We hadn't had any lunch. Would you like a hamburger? He said, boy, I was sure thinking how hungry I was, but I wanted God said, if you can work without food, I can work with you. So we went up and we're sitting in a Dairy Queen devouring a hamburger and a glass of tea when I looked over at him and I said, Dave, we don't know how blessed we are. Some people say, good grief, that's not very blessed. Let me tell you, if you were in a foxhole in Vietnam, that would make you blessed. And so, you know, so we don't understand how blessed we are. And I want to show you something to start off with today. That when's the last time that you cut your finger and you said, I just can't do anything because my finger's cut? Have you ever done that? Or I got to cut my arm, or I damaged my elbow, and Lord, I can't go nowhere, I can't do nothing, it's going to take me a week to get to where I can do something again. Have we ever done those kind of things? I was slicing onions the other day, and I slipped, and I cut my finger, and oh, how it hurts, I had to go down and have 6 stitches put in it. I can't do nothing, I can't cook again for a week. Do we say things like that? I want to show you something whenever you get down. Somebody sent me an email this week, and Dave's going to try to put these pictures on the board for you. Next time you get down, I want you to think about this little girl. Dave, put these pictures one at a time on the board. This girl is called, her name is Jessica Cox. You notice anything unique about her? She's standing in the cockpit of an airplane, and you know something's missing? She don't have any arms. And she's standing in the cockpit of an airplane. She's 25 years old, born without arms in Tucson, Arizona, and she's the first person ever to get a sports pilot's license flying only with her feet. Now I want you to look at the next picture of her. There she was when she was a little girl. No arms. Born without any. Isn't she a little sweetheart? But no arms. You know, you'd think, good grief, with no arms, she won't be able to do nothing in life. That's what people think, isn't it? With no arms, if I had to tie my hands behind me. You know, how many times have you said, if God had just given me one more hand and one more arm, I could get this done. I mean, I've said that, haven't you? And here she don't have any, and I got two, and what am I doing grumbling because I ain't got a third one instead of saying, praise God, I got two that works. Y'all know where I'm coming from? I mean, we need to praise him. Let's look at this next picture of her. Look here. She's a little girl, a dance girl. She's dancing in her little outfit. She's got her pretty little shoes and her flowers on. And just a beautiful little girl. She's going through life like she had good arms, you know. So you think, wow, let's see. Born without arms, that has only stopped her from doing one thing. Using the word can't. I took that word out of my vocabulary a long time ago. And when I look at this, this reiterates this to me. Now then, let's see what the next one says. Look at this. This girl's pulling the side panel up on an airplane to check the oil on it using her foot. She's standing on one and using the other to open the panel on the side of the airplane. Huh?
Her shoes? Yeah.
Yeah, no, look at that high-heeled shoe. She's standing on a high-heeled shoe. Now, I would double dare anybody in here, including me, to even think about trying to raise your leg that high straight up. Well, that's how I get mine. God had to give this girl some double joints. You know this? But this girl started out in life saying, I can do anything. You know, I'm going to do it. So here she is out checking out this airplane. So I thought to myself, in fact, Cheryl, when she saw this, she come in and said, honey, you got to see this. And she said, if I ever grumble or complain about anything, I want you to get me. I said, okay, let me. Then after I saw this, I thought, now I understand. That goes for both of us. Let's go to the next one. Here she is with her instructor. She's sitting inside the cockpit of that little sports plane, and this guy, he says that she is a rock-solid pilot. She sits in the seat of that thing, strapped in with a seatbelt, and uses one foot to handle the control yoke and the other one to handle the controls, the throttle and everything. Her feet, and he says she's a rock-solid pilot. He said she flies better than a lot of people he's trained that had two arms and two legs. So see, you got to get over this stuff. I've been teaching on faith and unbelief and all this kind of stuff. We have got to get over this. Amen. I mean, you know, in the faith world, God only honors faith. And here a little girl, I mean, the average person you would see like that, you would think, why, gee, I was born with no arms. I can't do nothing. You know, I can't even open a doorknob to get out of the house. You ever thought about using your foot? Well, no, you know, nobody could use your foot to open a door to get in. I mean, that's the way we think. Well, the little girl says, no. Let's go on to the next picture. Now, look at this. You ladies, try that next time. Put your eye stuff on with your toes. Somebody would say, well, I don't have any hands, so I can't wear any makeup. She said, well, I'll figure out a way to get it done. She has taken the word impossible and can't out of her vocabulary. And so she does her makeup with her toes. Look at this. Isn't this awesome? So next time somebody in here grumbles about something, I'm going to get you, including me. Yeah, let's go to the next one and see what this little girl's doing. Look at her driving that car. The guy said when she drove up out front with her car and got out of the car driving by herself and she said she wanted to learn how to be a pilot, I thought there ain't going to be no problem with this girl. She can drive that car, she can fly that airplane. She uses one foot to drive with and the other for the brake and the gas. Isn't that something? Let's go to the next one. Don't you see that terrible frown of depression upon her face? Because I don't have no arms. That girl smiled like she had good sense, you know it? Isn't that something? And look at her there, swimming in the pool. No arms whatsoever, but she's swimming. I mean, wow. Next picture. Now look at here. She's doing her hair. You'd think she was using her hand and her arm, wouldn't you? I mean, she's got that leg bent up there. She's got that little brush between her toes, and she's brushing her hair with her feet. Wow. Can't and impossible. We're going to have to get over this, folks. We got to take these words out of our vocabulary. The next one. She is, the education she has, of course, she not only does her makeup, she drives her car, she swims, she does her hair. She has two black belts. She has a college degree in psychology, and she is a motivational speaker, and she can type 25 words a minute. I can't. That's what I started to say, Joseph. I can't do 25 words a minute with two hands and 10 fingers. And that little girl, and she can do all those things. And I think there's one more, I think. There she is, back standing in the cockpit. Next time you feel down, think about Jessica Cox. What can that girl do? It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And always had a smile on her face. If there was ever anybody that ought to have a smile, it's somebody that's a Christian, that's got two hands, two legs, and they work. You know, we should be praising the King. There should never be any, I mean, don't ever let anything depress you in life. I mean, I don't care what it is. You know, just realize, hey, God has a plan and a purpose in what He's doing with me, and go with Him and praise Him and worship Him and thank Him. You know, I mean, just like that little girl. That little girl, when she was born and growing up, that little girl had a choice. I don't have any arms. Gee, I won't be able to do anything in life. Now, our mother and dad could have said that to her. You know, I mean, we don't know why you're born without arms. You don't have any, but, you know, you won't be able to do things. You won't be able to go to school. You won't be able to drive a car. We'll have to do everything for you like an invalid. Now, if you tell them that, that's what they think, isn't it? And that's the way they grow up. But if you grow up saying, no, there's got to be a way. You can comb your hair and figure out a way. put a brush between your toes and say, brush your hair. Somebody said, you know, that's crazy. You can't brush your hair like that. But did she do it? She did it. So if you have the that drive in you to do something, I mean, that's what the King told us in His Word. And we're going to go over some of those scriptures today. That was in my, I know this is why God brought this to me, because of the message I've been studying for this week and some of the scriptures I've got in it. The King literally has told you and me over and over, if we're His children, nothing is impossible with us if we only believe. And isn't that something? The King, our King, Jesus, literally told us, if you have faith in me and you don't doubt, nothing, nothing, nothing shall be impossible with you. Well, we haven't believed that, have we? Well, praise the Lord. Anyway, before we get started here, we got a testimony. Jack's got one. I know he's got. Okay, we'll get yours too in just a second. But Jack, I knew he had one. He told me he had to tell us something, so but we'll get him.
Okay. Was it a week ago? 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago, I had been vexed for...
Hold that up close.
...way too long with symptoms. I did not have allergies. Mm. But I had symptoms very similar to those. My eyes were itching. My nose was running. I kept three handkerchiefs going. And so I came here on a Sunday, and I had prayed. Trust me, I'd prayed myself. But I came here, and I laid hands with Thurman, and he prayed for me. And before I got out of the building, my allergy symptoms were gone. And that's a very irritating thing. It's not actually pain, but it just...
Yeah.
Terrible. So the rest of the story is 2-3 days later they came back with a vengeance. Why do you think that might have been? Well, it was from my sin. Now, just to let everybody relax, it had nothing to do with adultery or fornication, but it certainly was sin. And so I went to bed that night very disappointed in myself. Repenting of that sin, and I woke up again in the morning, and I haven't had a symptom since.
Amen. And, praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
And He's faithful to heal us or to...
Yeah, that's right. He, when you sin, He can put it on you, can't He, Jack?
In just a heartbeat.
In fact, I'll tell you something right quick. Jack, of course, he came out of the Southern Baptist just like I did, and one time he came here to a healing school. I got a mic on here. He came to a healing school, and after I taught about sin and sickness being directly related, he thought, couldn't be. You know, it just couldn't be. And so I told him, I said, well, I'm going to have a healing school next Saturday. I said, you come, and we'll talk about it. So for the next healing school, for the first 2 hours, all I did was go over scriptures where people sinned, and it made them sick. Sin and sickness. Sin and sickness. And after 2 hours, he thought, wow, this is awesome. And so one day he and I were driving up north of here together. We were doing something one day. And we were driving along, and he said, you know, if anybody can't put this together, that sin is sickness, they should have been in that class for 2 hours. He said, there's no telling how many scriptures you presented me that showed that when a person sins, it makes them sick. And so he is now learning. And like he said, you don't have to have it don't have to be adultery or fornication or that kind of stuff.
No,
you can just say something with your mouth wrong.
Right. Right, but the thing that breaks your heart is I went to church this morning and the preacher preached. God can do anything, but you know what? That ain't news to people in church. We all believe God can. Every church around believes God can. But at the end he said, now pray, and it's in the aorist tense, and keep on praying. And if it's God's will, He'll answer it. And I just turned to my son and I said, that's not what it says.
No, that's not what it says. No.
And that's the difference. We know that it is His will. All things. Whatsoever you ask in prayer believing, you shall receive.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. Great testimony. That's like, before we take the next one, but when we were flying down to Brenham here a few weeks ago to teach a healing school down in Brenham, Texas, down close to Houston, we went down there, and before we got there, it was raining and, you know, clouds and everything. And so Dave said, That last healing school, I got a real revelation on a scripture you have spoken no telling how many times, John 15:7. He said, John 15:7, the Lord says, if my words remain in you, and if you remain in me, you can ask what you will, and I will do it for you. He said, now, Lord, I have met the criteria. I have studied 2 or 3 hours every day for years now, and your word is in me, and I'm in you. So, Lord, tonight when we go home, I want the most beautiful, clear, crisp, sharp night to fly home in, not a cloud nowhere, in Jesus' name. And we preached a healing school and saw God do awesome miracles. 10 o'clock, 10:30, we finally got through at the healing school and praying for people because we had about 300 people there. And we went out and had dinner. And then at the midnight hour, we go out to the airport, get in the airplane. There's not a cloud in sight, nowhere. We take off from Brenham. And by the time we get to 6,500 feet, you can see 150 miles. We're flying along there. There's Waco over there. I look up and there's all the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex lights in front of us. And this is clear as it can be. And the GPS said to Northwest Airport, where we were going, it was still 118 miles. And something like, 24 minutes or whatever it was, we would be there. But I thought, isn't this something? Dave asked for a beautiful, clear night, and I mean there wasn't a particle of dust in the sky that I could see. It was the most clear, beautiful night I've ever seen. But how many times have I done that? Even one time I was going into Waco, Cheryl and I was going down to visit my niece, and she was graduating college down there, and we get to Waco, or right across from Waco, and I look at my computer, and it's IFR in Temple, which is just a few minutes from where I'm going. I mean, the ceilings are 200 foot. I thought, Lord, I don't want to have to file IFR and do an approach and all that stuff. I'd rather just say, okay, Lord, you said I could ask for anything. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to clear out the clouds, make it beautiful and clear. I'm going to start my descent, and I'm going to click the autopilot on about 300 feet a minute, and when I get there, I'm going to land on that runway straight in, and there ain't going to be a cloud in sight. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I reached over, clicked the autopilot on 300 foot a minute, made a direct approach, and as I got there, the clouds moved out of the way, and I landed on a perfect clear runway, and I taxied over to the terminal, and the young man said, boy, it's a good thing you wasn't here 10 minutes ago. It was IFR here 10 minutes ago. I said, I know. I looked at it on the computer a few minutes ago, and when I saw that, I prayed, so God opened it up. He said, you think that happened because you prayed? I said, no, I don't think, son. I know it happened because I prayed. Now, see, that's where we got to get as Christians. When we get to where we can believe these promises that God made, then we can do anything in the name of Jesus. Now, it's awesome. It's awesome to see God do these things. Now, Ruby, you had a testimony? Come on up here. Girl, praise the Lord. I saw you raise your hand. Okay. Praise the Lord. We'll get them all. We'll get them all. Praise the King.
Praise the King. I have 2 short testimonies that I need to bring to your attention to let you know the devil is real, but so is our God.
Amen.
This is a pastor here in the Dallas area that does deliverance. This happens here in Dallas, not in Africa. This happens last month, not 20 years ago. Let me start with the minor one first. Tracking device removed. Wow. This dear sweet lady who has been forcefully involved in a satanic cult since birth has just received a blessing about an hour ago. At age 12, they surgically inserted a long, thin tracking device into her right arm, which spanned from her elbow to her waist. This is how this loathsome, brainwashing organization kept track of this woman when they wanted to know her whereabouts, but no more. Since her glorious salvation experience last week, we have been in counsel. She said, since we spoke in the last couple of days, and I began to pray with her, this object began to move, then to make its exit through a hole in her arm that appeared yesterday. I spoke to this cursed object in Jesus' name and commanded it to go out of the body of this new woman of God. It moved out of the bone where it was surgically placed. Yes, you read correctly. Upon command, it moved out of the bone and began to move up the arm and out of the hole. At the end of the prayer, two wires and the device that moved from the wrist and out of the exit area, completely out of the body. No pain, only soreness, and no blood, only what was attached to it. Tracking object moved by the power of Jesus. And oh, and I forgot, this hideous cult branded an upside down cross with 666 on it on her thigh. At the same time, this mark burned into her skin disappeared completely.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
This mercy, His mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Oh. And this one, I pray hard about it, cover y'all with the blood. I'm almost done.
Amen.
Cursed animals expelled from lady. Look, guys, for too long we have been too blind and too dead and too deaf and too dumb. And that's why I praise God for the message you're about to preach today. Listen to this. We met for nearly 10 hours last night at the Mount Olive Free Methodist Church. It's a church here in Oak Cliff. And conducted two intense exorcisms. I urge many of you to pray, as I would be performing spiritual surgery on one of the ladies possessed. And you know what? I'm not even going to bother finish read this. Basically, when they finished praying for this lady, lizard body parts were vomited out of her mouth. These are things that people are going through today in this country, in this our communities. People going to church, and the demons are sitting up in our bodies, in our lives, having a heyday, and nobody to drive them out. But praise God for this ministry. We are going to learn all we're supposed to learn. Amen. We're going to drive these cussy demons out of our lives today.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory. What a God we serve. Praise the Lord. Here you go, young lady.
I usually don't come up here and give testimonies because I get very sweaty palms. And
hold it close so they can hear you.
Thurman said, shame on you if you don't tell your testimonies, because we need to glorify God. So,
amen.
About a year ago, my daughter's birthday was coming up, and she had always wanted a chihuahua. And I looked on the internet, and they were like $1,000 and up. They were just ridiculously priced. So I said, okay, God, you'll have to do this. If she has a chihuahua, you know, I need you to provide it. So I prayed, and I think a couple of months before her birthday, my husband called me, honey, you'll never believe what I found. And one of his customers had a little female brown chihuahua, exactly like we wanted, and she had just been born. She needed about six weeks to nurse on the mommy, and she would be ready, and that was going to fall right at about 2 or 3 days before my daughter's birthday.
Amen.
So it was perfect timing. She was at the right spec, you know, the right size and everything. So we got her, and praise God, that was a miracle. And then this past Monday, she's about a year old now, and her legs went out from underneath her, and we didn't know what was going on. Her spine had swollen up, and she was just dragging her body across the floor. So, you know, immediately we start praying over the dog, and we take her to the vet immediately, and he says, well, let's try steroids, but your best bet is surgery, and it's $3,000, and if you don't do it within 24 to 48 hours, the spine will most likely die off, and, you know, she will be paralyzed for life. So I just knew right away. I had been praying over the last few days, God, I just want more of you. And so I believe that God has allowed this to happen just to test me. You know, we go from glory to glory, and he brings us through tests. And I called up here for Rosemary. She answered the phone, and I asked her to pray for us about the Chihuahua. And for a day or two, we didn't notice any improvement. And then day before yesterday, she started walking on her paws for the first time. And this morning, I kept trying to get her to stop running.
Oh, praise the Lord.
So God is good. And
praise the Lord.
There is one more testimony. I haven't come up here in forever. So I'm a stay-at-home mom. I have a 13-year-old and an 18-year-old. And we just had a 7-month, our baby now. He's 8 months. And I've been praying about our finances for about a year and a half. And just that we would be debt-free and start, you know, applying the Word of God to our finances. Well, in the past year and a half, as of last week, we are officially completely debt-free except for our house. And I also prayed that God would help me to contribute, even though I don't work. And based on my tithe and everything, my income this past year, without a job, because God is bigger than, you know, all that, it was over $12,000.
Wow, praise
so,
the Lord.
God is good. He's faithful.
Amen. Praise the Lord. He's a good God, young lady.
A few weeks ago, the Lord told me to give this testimony. The next time that Thurman called for testimonies, and really, I don't know why, as a testimony, it doesn't make much sense to me, so I figured it must be important for someone. It actually happened when Lori and I first came to the Lord. That was about 25 years ago. Actually, it was in April 1984, and within 2 weeks after that, we went with a group to another city for a special service, and as a result of my testimony, a lady came to the Lord, a Jewish lady who they had been ministering to for quite some time, and in the congregation that we came to the Lord in, it turned out that there was a little clique of people there, about 6 or 7 couples altogether, and a couple of these people was really jealous of what happened in that service. Now here we are, just having, you know, just come to the Lord 2 weeks, and they made up a tale about us in the congregation, and the pastor called me the following week. He had accepted us right off the bat in his congregation, but he called me to a week later and had me meet with him locally and his assistant, associate pastor, and he told me that they couldn't accept us as members in their congregation. But he also told me that, he says, that if you really are serious, if you feel like that the Lord is leading you here to this congregation, he says, we usually ask people to wait about 6 months before they're accepted into our congregation. He says, we didn't do that with you. But he said, if you want to sit in the back of the congregation and not take part in what goes on, he says, then you are you're welcome, and we'd love to have you here if you really think you're really serious. Well, this pastor had a habit of one thing, is that when people would needed prayer or something, he would call them forward in the congregation, and then he would, this was a Messianic Jewish congregation, by the way, with a rabbi, and the rabbi would ask all the men of the congregation to come forward and lay hands on this family or the person or whatever the situation was and pray for them. But he'd always announce, only the men of the congregation, please. And so Lori and I continued to attend that congregation, and some of the people was not in on this. They really didn't know what was going on. They were fairly friendly with us, but we'd come into the congregation. If we got there early and took a seat, no one would sit anywhere near us. If we came in and the congregation was crowded, and it very often was, in fact, most of the time it was pretty crowded, and we would find a seat, people would get up and move away from us. Almost every week, someone would have some kind of nasty remark to make to me or to Lori. And every time we'd go home, one or the other of us would say, I'm never going back. But the Lord, I think, was pressing us for it, and we continued to go back anyway. Over the next 4 or 5 months, well, we began to tell who the members of this little clique in that congregation were. And over the next 4 or 5 months, every one of them was moved out of that congregation. The last couple to go was an officer in the Navy, a commander. And he got a notice that he was being transferred from Virginia to Georgia, and he had a 2-week notice, 2 weeks to move in. Usually the military gave you about 6 months for a move like that, but they gave him a 2 weeks notice. And we met on Friday evening, and for some reason, I had reached a point where I was totally fed up with the attitude of the people toward Lori and I. And so at work, I happened to have a job that I worked for NASA at the time, but the work that I was doing at that particular time left my mind fairly free to, I could concentrate or think about almost anything I wanted. So I spent almost a whole day while I'm working in prayer. And I let the Lord know that, Lord, this is it. I've had it. I'm going tonight to congregation. Now, at this point, it's been about 5 months. And I told the Lord, I said, I'm going tonight to congregation. And Lord, if the rabbi does not state clearly that he's accepting me and Lori into this congregation, this is my last night. I'm not coming back again. And I prayed this prayer several times, over and over, off and on, all throughout the day. And I also told the Lord, I said, Lord, I will not accept any innuendos, any halfway remarks. It's got to be straightforward so that the whole congregation knows. And that night, that last member of that congregation had been in that clique, that naval officer, was called forward by the rabbi. And he asked the men of the congregation to come forward and lay hands on him and to pray. And Lori and I were sitting back towards the back. And as he was calling the men of the congregation forward, he looked back at me and nodded his head. And I said, Lord, I told you today that I would not accept any innuendos. If the rabbi is calling me forward, if he's accepted me as a member, Lord, you have him make a clear open statement. Otherwise, I'm not going forward. And so the people are coming up, and most of them were there, and a few were still straggling up. And the rabbi was still looking around over the congregation, and then he looked back and he saw me still sitting there. And he looked out and he says, Joe May, come on up, please. I don't know what the consequence is or the implications of this testimony or what, but as I said, I don't know why the Lord laid it on my heart a few weeks ago to give this congregation this testimony here in this congregation. I think it probably should mean something to someone. I don't know who, but I pray that God would bless it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God can do anything. He can do anything. He's got a purpose in everything he does.
Praise the Lord.
Everything. Eldon, praise the Lord.
Well, it's an honor and a pleasure for me to be here. Nathan, I've been coming here a long time, and I'm just so thankful and so grateful for a pastor that will teach God's word all the way, all the way. And I also thank God for bringing us to a point of testing us throughout our lives. Just recently, I was up in Idaho helping to harvest trees for essential oils with Dr. Young. And there were several times where the different pieces of equipment that I'd be driving, well, there'd be a little something go wrong or whatever. But this one piece of equipment that I was driving, it was a skidster. I don't know if you all know bobcats and skidsters. You know, it's a device, you know, it's a machine that you get on the front, and it's got grapples on the front. And what we were doing, what I was doing there was going out through and picking up trees and transporting them over to where the chipper would chip them and then blow the chips up in the trucks. Well, this particular machine, it had a weak hydraulic connection, and it would pop off every once in a while. And I really didn't want the chipper, the guy feeding the chipper, to ever be waiting on me. And so I would pray, the Lord, help me get this back on there, you know. And I don't know if you all know how a quick connect is in hydraulics, but if there's pressure still on there, it's impossible to get that connection made into there. And there's a collar keeper that, well, it's a part of that collar that was missing inside one of those little keeper ball bearings. Anyway, when I would pray, that would go right in there. I'd say, Lord, send me an angel to help me put this back in there. Yeah? And so I'd be out there and really moving those trees again, you know. This happened, several times. But anyway, also the Lord tested my faith when I was driving this 22-wheeler. It's a tractor-trailer with two trailers. It's a tractor with two trailers. Dr. Young said we was grossing about $130,000. And anyway, there was the last leg of 18 miles, a very treacherous mountain road. Well, the last few miles was just where the sun never did get to. Well, it was just sheer ice. Anyway, this particular time, I spun out. And it's really a steep grade. And after it couldn't go any farther, it started spinning, you know, it just couldn't go anymore. So I just popped both of the valves, you know, the parking brake for the trailer and the tractor, and I looked out the window. I felt like I was sliding. And sure enough, I looked out, and sure enough, I was moving backwards. And so I said, Lord, send me an angel. Stop this. Don't let this slide off in this canyon here. And immediately, just stop. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Glory.
And Nancy and I relate to the story we just told about the little dog. Our little dog, Boomer, had a similar situation. He was paralyzed behind his shoulders, and x-rays and everything, and the vet said he had to do surgery and all of that. And we took him back home, and we anointed him with oil, did a lot of prayer over him and blessing him. And the Lord blessed him. In 4 days, he was walking. And so the Lord loves animals, too.
Amen, he does.
Even
Amen.
Horses. I mean, the Lord loves his creation.
Yeah.
And he likes us to bless his creation also. The trees, everything. It's nice to drive down the road and see the leaves coming out and those beautiful blooms.
Amen,
coming out. We just
brother.
Praise the Lord for all these wonderful things.
Amen.
But anyway, also another one of my testimonies is just recently is we had a red-tipped petunia die, and so I was out there with a chainsaw digging it out, you know, just cutting it all up and everything. And it was a chainsaw. Sometimes if you get a twig that catches, a limb catches, well, it'll throw it out, and then, well, anyway, a piece that went around, and it hit me right in the eye. And so I go in the house, I say, Nancy, pray for my eye right quick. She did, and there was no damage. I mean, that really hit. I mean, there was a piece hit me that, I mean, it was pretty solid. And when she prayed, well, just in a few minutes, there was no pain. All was okay.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Isn't it good to know Jesus? Praise the Lord.
So, yeah. So anyway, I thank the Lord Almighty for a pastor, Pastor Thurman, to lead us in the leadership that he's leading us. Because he is a man on the spot right now. I mean, he is the man.
Yeah,
praise the Lord.
Thank you, Eldon. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do we have anybody else before we go to our teaching? We got one more here. Okay, praise the Lord. We don't want to hold anybody back.
All right, thanks. I was sort of convicted when the last lady was up here. So, and I, too, echo Eldon's sentiment. I love coming to this church.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
I actually reside in Delaware, but I'm quite familiar with Texas, but I won't get into that story right now. But I'm helping some friends of mine live here in Arlington, and I'm sort of got involved with operating some remodeling company to help them out, release some pressure on them. And we have one, all the jobs have gone in pretty good. We have one where we're having some quality control issues, and they really weren't that big a deal, but obviously he was concerned with the customer. But he was really being obstinate. about it, and it was getting a little bit out of hand. And I would talk to him every day just to stay engaged with him and whatnot and help manage the situation. And then about a week and a half or so ago, we were talking during the day over the phone, and he hadn't done this before, but he dropped the name Lord of the used the Lord's name in vain and not in a respectful way. And I didn't catch it the first time because I didn't expect that he hadn't done it. I let it slide, which I typically don't. Then he dropped it again, and I said, I won't use his name, and I said, Tim, this is a conversation going to come to a halt right here, right now. And I said, you're not going to use that name around me like that. It just ain't going to happen. And he immediately apologized. He just said, Richard, I'm sorry, boom, da da boom. And I said, it's fine, Tim. I forgive you, we'll move on. And I said, but since we're on the subject, I said, it says clearly in the Word, I don't know why I'm shaking like this.
Okay.
But I said, you know, it says in the Word that when you use the name like that, you bring judgment on yourself. So I'm just going to give you a little personal recommendation, don't do it again. whether it's in front of me or not. And I said, since we're still on the subject, I said, Tim, I said, do you want to know why our country's in such a mess? Because we don't give God the awe and respect that we used to give him. And anyway, and so we got back into talking about our details. And then out of the blue, he goes, Richard, I'm sorry. And I said, it's fine. I said, just, you know, I hope you take admonition to what was presented here. I went over the next day and inspected the job, and the first words out of his mouth, Richard, I'm sorry.
Praise the Lord.
And it was really cool, but I'll finish this up. I was there, and by the way, we finished the job up. We got paid, praise the Lord. But I was there just inspecting some things, and there was a poster sort of glorifying God. It was an open Bible, which I had not. I've been in this house for 2 months now. No, saw no recognition of God at all to the to God. And it was an open Bible in there. So I don't know what the Holy Spirit, after we had that conversation, I just started praying peace and joy and the glory of the Lord into that house that Jesus would show up, and he is. So I'm sure there'll be more to the story. So
amen. You. Praise the Lord. That's a good one. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We ought to give God the glory. Is there any others before we go on? Is that it? Praise the Lord. Brother? Miss Virginia, praise the Lord. We got one here, got one here. Okay, we're on a roll here. Praise the Lord.
I'm not going into the whole story.
Okay.
Don't have time.
Okay, yeah.
I have a car 14 years old. I've been hit from the passenger side, the door torn up. Their insurance paid for it. Hit from the right side, the bar in between the doors, and their insurance paid for it. And neither one of us was even in the car. Car rolled down in front of my house into the side of my car. Well, this week, my friend in Mesquite asked me to take her for an appointment. So I went over and got her on the way from one place to the other, stopped at a red light. I was talking to her, and wham, from the back. My back bumper is totally torn up. You know, I think if that's all the problem you have in your life, don't get stressed.
Amen.
So I went around and looked at it, and this man said, I'm sorry, lady. I'm sorry, lady. I didn't say anything to him. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
Amen.
Smile, Jesus loves you, is on the back of my car. He apologized two or three times. I could tell by his car he didn't have any insurance. His car was terrible. And he didn't have any money. He didn't offer to pay for it. And the Lord told me to turn my other cheek. I just went and got in the car and drove off and didn't say a word to him. I don't know how God is going to turn this around for my good, but he is.
Amen. Guarantee he will. Guarantee he will. Okay, come on up here. Yeah, guarantee he will do something good for you. God is an awesome God. He tells you to do something, you just obey him. He's got a plan. Here you go, young lady. Hold it up close so we can hear you.
Okay, I suffered from chronic pain in my back. I had curvature of the spine for 10 years. It was so bad that I had to get on my hands and knees to get out of the bed. And so I kept praying all those years. And I call my son my blessing in life because the minute after he was born, I was pain-free, and I've been pain-free ever since, and he's 23 now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God's good, isn't he?
Yeah. I was just going to go on to say, when my son was 4 years old, I had an opportunity of a lifetime You know Scott Hamilton, the Olympic ice skater? I got asked to be in the ice skating show with him. And so the doctor had told me before I had my son that I'd probably be in a wheelchair, and I'm not.
Amen.
And then one last thing is I had worked for Walgreens for like 7 years, and a robber came in the store on June the 11th, 3 years ago, and he beat on the counter, "Give me all your money." Well, as long as I'd been there, there's only two buttons you have to push to open the register, and I was so numb I couldn't even do it, and I'd been there that long. Well, anyway, he had just gotten out of prison. He yanked my arm. I had figured out how to get into the cash register, so I had the money in my hand, and he yanked my arm real bad. I had to go through 8 months of physical therapy, but when he yanked my arm, I dropped the money. He had pointed a gun at me and one of my coworkers, and nobody got hurt. This was like in the middle of the day with all the high school people and everything. So I praise God I'm still alive.
Amen.
And I'm still walking, and I'm not in a wheelchair.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, praise the Lord, brother.
I'm like Eldon over here. I want to give the Lord through Thurman's ministry some glory. It made me think as I listened to the testimonies a long time back. I've been listening to Thurman for years now. And a long time back, I got to know Thurman personally, and he told me one time, he said, "Paul," I said, "you know, Thurman, I started to call you to get you to pray for someone." He said, "Never hesitate to call me because I'll pray for anybody." Well, there was these two elderly ladies in the old folks' home over in Terrell. This company that I worked for at the time, the man who served the Lord, he called me one day and said, "Paul, my mother-in-law is sick. She's throwing up. She's throwing up. She can't stop throwing up." And he said, "I need you to pray for her." And I thought about Thurman. I thought, I hate to bother him, but I will. I'll call. And there were two ladies in a room. They were both up in their 80s, like way up in the 80s, close to 90s, fixing to go home to be with the Lord. And I called Thurman. I think I woke him up, but I called him, woke him up. I said, "Thurman, I need you to pray for these ladies." He said, "Paul, are they Christians?" I said, "Yes, they are." Just a simple prayer. I'll never forget what he said. He said, "Father," he said, "we just want to bring these ladies." He called their names. He said, "We just want to, Lord, we just ask your blessing upon them. And as long as they're here on this earth, we just want to ask that you stop this one from throwing up and just give them peace until they go home." You know, I just know God works. And I know, and I've never seen him answer prayer as quickly and as effectively as he does through Thurman's ministry or through Thurman. Immediately, the lady stopped throwing up. And the next day, her and both the other lady were just really, really, really well. And this guy who doesn't even serve the Lord, I called in from out on the road, you know, and this guy answered the phone. I said, "What about your mother-in-law and the other lady?" He said, "Paul," he said, "I don't know what happened," but he said, "all of a sudden the lady stopped throwing up. The other lady, they're both sitting up there eating." And you know, that lady was well for 3 weeks, because Thurman said specifically, he said, "Until she goes home to be with the Lord, Lord, I'm asking that you give her peace and she not be sick." She lived 3 weeks after that, set up and eat every day until she went home to be with the Lord. It was exactly what you asked the Lord for.
Amen.
It's powerful.
Praise the Lord. We serve an awesome God. Wow. Any others? I don't want to cut anybody short. If we got one, okay, brother, come on up here. I was fixing to say going once, twice, and fixing to turn the mic off. And I saw his hand go up and thought, "Uh-oh, we got another one." Praise the Lord.
Well, this may not be the biggest thing, but this past week, I'd been working out in an area that was sort of like a farm area, and I might have got some dirt on my fingers, I don't know, but when I got home, my eye was itching and it felt like pus was starting to come out of it. And I had many years ago I had pink eye, so I thought maybe it was pink eye. And I went to the mirror and looked, and it was real red, and like it felt like something was getting ready to really set in on my eye. So I went and read two or three scriptures that had the word "eye" in it. from the Bible. And shortly after that, it went away, and nothing ever came on. And I'd heard that whenever a sickness tries to come on you at first like that, they don't give the devil a chance, jump right on it right away. Amen. And that's what I did, and my eye problem went away very quickly.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory.
Just need to give the Lord credit for that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, did I get the last one?
I'll give you another one.
Okay, right quick.
Glorify God.
Okay.
God is such a good God, and there's nothing impossible with the Lord when you have faith. Just recently, another testimony here reminded me of a lady that all her life had had a lot of rash and itching, her whole life. And anyway, I got to pray for her, anoint her with all, and pray with her, and she gave me a report that she had several days already of free.
Amen.
From being itching.
Amen.
And all that. So praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord
is what I say. Praise the Lord. I remember one time when we had a healing school, Eldon and Nancy was back there praying for some people, and this guy, he was really working on this guy back here in the back, and he was in a wheelchair on oxygen and everything else, and before Eldon got through praying with him and everything, the guy's up, breathing, he was talking and everything, and the guy came back to church the next day with a friend. And his friend came up and gave the testimony. After that man came up and gave a testimony, he said, yesterday I brought him to a healing school. I brought him in a wheelchair, and he couldn't talk. He was on oxygen. He said, since we left the healing school today, I haven't been able to shut him up. He said, all he does is talk. When a man hadn't been able to give out his words, that's just like Cheryl. We go to bed the other night. I was busy all day. I spent very little time that day with my honey bunny, and so when we finally go to bed, she's talking, and all of a sudden she says, you're trying to go to sleep. I haven't got my 25,000 words out yet. I said, okay, I guess I better wake up and get those 25,000 words out. She said, no, I'll be good to you. I know you're tired. You worked hard. So she said, I'll just wait and give you 50,000 tomorrow. I said, okay. But God's good, isn't he? Now, then, if you got any kind of sin in your life, I'm going to tell you, now's a good time to get rid of that sin. Now would be a very good time to get rid of all sin and walk holy before God. Because if you do not, and He knows your heart, He knows everything within you, He knows what you're thinking, He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows if you're thinking, hey, I need to line myself up and do what this man is telling me, or I think that preacher up there is crazy. God knows exactly what you're thinking. Well, that same God that is laying all these things on my heart is the same one that does all these healings and all these miracles for people when I pray for them. I mean, He healed Jack a couple of weeks ago, you know. I mean, of course, now Jack, when he first came to me, I guess it had been 2 or 3 years ago, he had a back problem. And I told him, I said, well, sir, I didn't know him, but I said, you got some sin in your life and you got to get rid of the sin. Well, he'd been raised a Southern Baptist. He'd never heard this concept. And so we talked about sin, and he said, well, I am doing a few things I'm not supposed to be doing. He said, but I didn't realize there's a consequence. Is that right, Jack? So I told him, I said, you get rid of the sin, and I guarantee the God I serve will heal you. Well, now, you'd been down in your back for pain for several months, had you? And so anyway, he repented and said he would stop whatever the different kinds of sin he was doing at the time that we talked about. And so I prayed for him, and he started to walk out, and I said, how's your back? He said, well, it's not any better. And I said, well, now see, sometimes God does miracles, and he does it instantly. I said, now, I don't know how long it's going to take, but I said, I want you to know you got to stay in faith with me and continue to walk holy and continue to praise him and thank him for your healing. So Jack went out the door praising God for his healing. Before he got to the car, the pain in his back left, and it's been gone ever since. So that started him on a new walk. He come back, he gave it 2 Sundays, and 2 Sundays later he came back, walked in, and said, Pastor, what you teach works. This really worked. He said, I've been down in my back all this time, and you prayed for me, and I got to the car, and it was gone, and said, it hadn't come back. Well, see, God was showing him that he's really God, and that he really honors when you get rid of your sin. He then heals all of your diseases, just like he said. And so that made a total change in Jack's life. And, of course, now he knows God is a healer. And so the other day, he just happened to think, you know, I mean, here I've been healed of a back problem all this time, and these allergies are just driving me nuts, and my eyes, my nose. So I just go up for prayer. And he came up, and I prayed for him, and God was merciful to him, healed him again, you know. And he called me Monday afternoon, I guess it was, and he said, Pastor, he couldn't get me. He said, I just got to thank God for this ministry and your prayers. He said, I've had these allergy itching eyes. He said, I'm here to tell you today, I woke up this morning, I ain't had a pain all day. I feel great. That's what he said. Well, what I do, that makes it worthwhile, Jack, to see God do those things for you. But he does them for many others, too, and I'm grateful for that. But we've been talking about why we in the church don't see God do these kind of things. And one of those things we talked about so intently for one whole Sunday was unbelief. You know, we don't. And then the next two Sundays we've talked about why we don't see God do these things. And the last two Sundays has been on sin. Now, when we sin, we separate ourselves from God. Now, see, you just heard Jack say that in business, he didn't elaborate on it, but in some kind of little dealing in his business or something, he got crossways somewhere, did something a little bit wrong, said the wrong thing or something, although he didn't elaborate on it, but you heard him say, it wasn't adultery or none of that crazy stuff. I didn't murder nobody. So, I mean, you can sin and not do those kind of things. And that's what he did this last week, and when he did, immediately the allergy came back upon him. God's saying, now you repented of your sin, Thurman, my son, prayed for you, and you two agreed in prayer, and so I healed you, and now then you went 3 days, you're feeling so good, now you're getting a little cocky here, you know, and so you did something you ain't supposed to, so bam, I put that right back on you, show you that I'm God. And that's what he does, isn't it, Jack? And he got your attention, didn't he? And when Jack said, okay, Lord, he's learned now, so okay, Lord, I'm sorry, I know I did something I wasn't supposed to, so I repent, and I'm going to walk in obedience to your word. Well, he wakes up and he's healed. Now, and then, as long as he walks in obedience to God's word, he won't have to worry about that coming back. And see, that's the beautiful part about God. You know, we don't want to be sick, do we? But we do sin in far too many ways. And one of the sins of so many men is we don't spend enough time with God. We may not talk to him all week. Now, of course, I know you girls may be like that a little bit too, but I'm maybe not as bad as us guys. But I don't know. I kind of got a feeling God holds the men a little more accountable than he does the women because he made us the spiritual heads of our homes. And so I believe he holds us just a little more accountable. And some of us, you know, as men, we just takes us forever to get a hold of the concept. God says, husbands, love your wives. If you don't, I won't answer your prayer. You know, there's a lot of men that act like they're loving their wife when they're in church, but when they leave, they treat her like a dog. You know, and God knows what you're doing everywhere, and so that's why you don't get your prayers answered. So we talked about unbelief, we talked about sin, we talked about many things, but now then, today, we're going to talk about another reason why people don't get their prayers answered, and that is that you have a demon. Somebody says, no, I don't have a demon. Yeah, if you tell me you don't have one, you probably have several. In fact, most of you probably never heard of Jerry King, but he used to be one of the most awesome, anointed Assembly of God Pentecostal preachers in Fort Worth. And years ago, he had a great big Pentecostal church in Fort Worth, and if you wanted to know who the best Pentecostal preacher was in Fort Worth, all you had to do is mention that around Jerry King. He'd tell you, I'm the best. There ain't nobody better than me in town. I mean, you know, he had a little pride, you know, in there. He really knew because he had a big church. And then one day he went to the meeting that James Robertson had got delivered from demons. And some of you may or may not have ever heard about James's deliverance, but he's told it many times himself, how he got delivered from demons by a carpet cleaner. And how that he had a big meeting and he invited all these preachers that James Robertson had made fun of all these years. Now he's rid of his demons, so he wants to apologize to all these other preachers. And Jerry King was invited to this meeting. And Jerry said, I went. And he said, there's James Robertson up in front of all those preachers. He had hundreds of them, I guess, in the Metroplex. And he was feeding them a dinner and apologizing to them for what he'd done to them as a Southern Baptist preacher. Because he said, my problem was demons. And I had no idea that I was preaching to thousands of people every night, and I had demons more than I could believe. But he said, I could be sitting here looking out across the congregation, and I could look at a woman sitting out there, and I would lust for that woman, and I'm married and got a woman at home. But he said, I couldn't help it. I didn't know what was wrong with me. He said, I just look out there and all of a sudden the lust thoughts, you got to have that woman. He said, I didn't know what was wrong with me. Well, he had demons. That's what was wrong with him. But after he got delivered, all that went away. So he don't have that no more. So he said, while I was there talking, he says, I have learned, men, that our major problem in our churches is demons. And we need to learn how to go through deliverance and get our people free of demons. And Jerry King, he said, I was standing back there, and I thought, you know, God, that's probably what's wrong with my church. Probably I have a few people in my Pentecostal church that has demons. That's probably what's wrong with my church. And he said, God spoke to me audibly standing there and said, Jerry, the problem in your church is you. Now, you talk about an anointed Pentecostal preacher, when God speaks to you and says, you're the problem in your church, you talk about humbling you. You're the problem in your church. Jerry said, I just fell over the back of that chair and said, oh God, what do I need to do? And he said, God began to tell me what I needed to do. And the repenting I needed to do and what was in my heart and the pride that was in my heart. He said, I needed a notebook to write down everything God said was wrong with me. But he listened, and he repented, and he went through deliverance, and he got rid of the demons. And I was on a whole week with Jerry King, and he and I were teaching together, and it was awesome to sit and talk with him and for him to be, you would never know he was this prideful man of God over this big church a few years ago. Now then, he's the most humble, gentle, just normal guy that you ever could want to meet in your life. A wonderful man of God. And God's using him mightily now. But, you know, here a while back, I made a statement. I said, Lord, why don't you tell me what I'm doing wrong? And then I thought, and I said, no, wait a minute, Lord, let me go get a notebook before I ask that. Because I'll probably have to have one with several pages to write down all of my problems. Do you know that's what's wrong with us? We have problems, and I've told some people this week that when I went through deliverance myself, I didn't know anybody in deliverance. This happened years ago, and God revealed to me that my problem was demons. Now, I'm a Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher and a deacon and everything, but God revealed to me that my problem was demons and that I had to get rid of these demons. Well, I didn't know of a deliverance ministry. I had never been outside the Baptist church. I didn't know there was no such thing as deliverance of demons. I mean, that's foreign to a Baptist. You know, when you're a Baptist, you know, well, not just a Baptist, most Christians have never been through deliverance or seen or even talk about demons. But these demons are our problem, and they get into us when we sin. That's the open door that allows them to come in. It's when you sin, you get a demon. Just like Jack. We'll use Jack as an example. Here Jack's healed. He left here, and when he goes a few days, and he sins, and when he sins, immediately those pains and symptoms comes back upon him. Where do you think those pains and symptoms come from? Demons. These little beasts, when as soon as they're watching. I mean, Jack, when you get through rid of them, the devil probably sends four or five of them, saying, you guys stay with him, and you put some thought in his mind, you do what you can to get him to sin. The minute he sins, you get in there. And somebody said, I don't believe none of this. Well, let me tell you, this is the way it works. Guarantee this is the way it works. They get in you when you sin, and then they're going to ruin your day. They're going to make you sick. They're going to afflict you. They're going to kill you prematurely. They're going to do all kinds of things. And you learn all these things from God's Word. Now, we're just going to talk about a few places today about these demons, but we're going to start off in Luke chapter 11, verses 14 through 28. Luke 11, 14. We're going to start here, and we're just going to go through a couple of these. Wow, I looked up there. It's already 10 minutes after 4, and I hadn't even started. You bunch of long-winded testimonies. Y'all preached by a whole 2 hours today. No, I'm just kidding. The testimonies are great. I love all of them. Well, just like you say, what are you doing when you tell testimonies? You're giving glory to your God. Is that what we're about? Giving glory to our God. This thing ain't about me. This thing's not about you. This thing's about Jesus. And so we want to give him the glory for everything he does. So we're going to read and see what Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verses 14 through 28. Let's start here in Luke 11 and verse 14 says, one day Jesus cast a demon out of a man who couldn't speak. And the man's voice returned to him. The crowd was amazed. Now, right there, what was the man's problem? He had a demon. And what could the man not do? Couldn't talk. Couldn't talk. I learned these things many years ago after God showed me how to get delivered. And I was out in Phoenix, Arizona. I was asked to come out there to a Baptist church. There was a man watched me on Daystar. We'd been on Daystar. This had been years ago. But he saw us on Daystar, and he wanted me to come out there and speak in his Baptist church. And I told him, I said, well, is your pastor, has he cleared this? He said, well, I've talked to him. He's thinking about it. I said, well, when he clears it, I'll be happy to come out there. He called me maybe a week or two or three later, whatever it was. He said, my Baptist preacher said, he can't help it if you are a Baptist. He's listened to some of your stuff, and he just can't have you speak in our Baptist church. And I said, well, okay, that's okay. He said, but I want you to come. I said, well, I have to have my transportation paid for and a place to stay. That's all I require. He said, well, I'll pay for it myself. I said, well, okay. And of course, then it was just me by myself. And he said, would you mind staying in my home? And that way I wanted to pay up for a hotel. But said, we're going to have to rent a hotel suite because the pastor won't let us have it in church. I said, okay, no problem. So I'll come out there. So I went out there, and when I got out there in that hotel room where I was, that big suite thing, they brought, the pastor came. And one of his deacons came. And there was an old man that had a stroke came. And there was had a whole big room full of people, probably 60, 70, 80 people in that big suite in that hotel. And one of the little boys, 5 years old, the mother and dad brought him up and said, I said, what's his problem? They said, he can't talk. 5 years old, he's never spoken a word. I said, well, he's got a demon. Now, where did I get this? From right there. I mean, what was wrong with that boy? So did Jesus cast the demon out of him? And he talked? And so I had read the scripture where Jesus said, I can do anything he could do because he's in me, the hope of glory. So I knelt down in front of this little five-year-old, and I began to command. I said, now, Mother and Dad, I want y'all to repent of every sin because there's some kind of sin that allowed this devil to come in this boy. And so then you find out what their sins are. They talk about them. You know, how many people today that have conceived a child out of wedlock? You know, they had sex before they got married. They don't realize that God's Word says no to that. And absolutely no, never. But what do? We don't believe Him. And then when we do this, we don't believe He's there watching us. We don't believe that He sends a demon, you know, to get us or to send a demon into the little child because you brought the child into the world out of wedlock. You know, but He does. And so they repented of the sin, asked God to forgive them. Now, when you ask God to forgive you, does He forgive your sin? Oh, isn't that wonderful? Amen, praise God. Otherwise, you'd still be sick, Jack, you know, and I would be too. But they repented. I knelt down in front of this little guy, and I commanded these spirits to come out of him, just like Jesus did there. I say, now, son, say Jesus. He couldn't say nothing. I mean, 15 minutes. I mean, I'm down there. I'm saying, you devil, you got to come out of him in the name of Jesus. I said, now, son, talk to me. Say Jesus. Finally, after 15 minutes, I said, well, I don't know why he can't talk yet, but I said, you know, I can't spend any more time with him. I said, I've got to go to somebody else. But I said, I guarantee you in the name of Jesus, that devil's left. Yeah. See, you didn't hear me say, well, maybe if it's God's will. I said, I guarantee that devil's gone, and I guarantee this boy's going to speak in the name of Jesus, because I know the God you and me serve is a God that demands faith. Without faith, you can't please the King. You know, and so I said, it's done. Well, the next morning was Sunday. And, of course, my airplane didn't leave till like 3 o'clock in the afternoon coming back to Dallas. So the man I was staying there, he said, well, I'm going to church this morning. Would you like to go with me? I said, sure. I guess I can go to that Baptist church as a, you know, I don't have to, I'm not go over there to speak. So, but I prayed for the pastor, which had back trouble for years. I prayed for that old deacon that had a stroke that couldn't hardly get around. And I prayed for an old man that come in with two canes like this, barely could get in the meeting. I prayed for all those people that afternoon. Well, the next morning when I got to church, I walked up and that deacon that had the stroke, he said, praise God, Brother Thurman, you're here today. He said, would you teach adult Sunday school this morning? I said, well, what's wrong? He said, man, I had that stroke. I was the one. I said, I'm healed this morning. He said, I'm perfect. He said, man, I want you to teach the adults. I said, well, Okay, I'll be happy to do that. And about that time, the pastor walked up and he said, what are you going to do? He said, well, I got healed, pastor. He prayed for me yesterday. I was going to let him teach the adults. He said, I'll tell you what, I've had this back trouble for years. He prayed for me and I don't have it this morning. So he said, take him in the main sanctuary. I'm going to get all the youth and everything. We're going to bring them all in here and he's going to do the whole 2 hours this morning. So, what God has to do to get people's attention. And then when I give, after teaching 2 hours, of course, that little boy, when they come walking in with that little boy is talking 90 miles an hour. And they said, we got home, and he had never said a word. We woke up this morning, and he was talking, and we ain't been able to shut him up since. He's talking constantly. He was just talking like any five-year-old would. He had never said a word. But when we cast a demon out of him, he got healed. When I rebuked that demon and that pastor, the back pain went away. When I rebuked the demons in that old deacon, that went away. And then at the end, I'm giving the invitation. I said, now anybody wants to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because you don't never have a message in a Baptist church. You don't give an invitation for Jesus. That's just the way it is. And there was an old man jumped up on the back row, the guy that had the problem with walking on two canes. He comes running down the front like this, and he said, and he fell on his face, and he said, I never heard of this Jesus that heals. I don't know him, but he said, I'm the guy you prayed for coming on two canes yesterday, and I want to make him my Lord and Savior this morning. And you think, glory to God in the eyes. So that was quite an experience I had in Phoenix, Arizona with demons. Now, what happened here? One day, Jesus cast a demon out of a man who couldn't speak, and the man's voice returned to him. The crowd was amazed. Out there in Phoenix, they were amazed. The people at Baptist Church. But the pastor got healed. A deacon, the head deacon, got healed. This little five-year-old boy got healed. And then this old man, you know, that was all crippled up, didn't have no canes, nothing, walking, running down that aisle, and accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. I mean, do we serve an awesome God, Bill? He's awesome. So the problem is here, Jesus just cast out this demon and the boy spoke. I thought, well, if Jesus cast the demon out and the boy spoke, then the demons are obviously our problems. But I've now learned that a demon can be more than just a problem with talking. A demon can be a lot of things. And if you got one, they're going to ruin your life. Now let's go on to the next verse, verse 15 and 16. But some said, no wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons. Trying to test Jesus, others asked for a miraculous sign from heaven to see if he was from God. I don't understand this. Here he just cast a demon out of a man that don't talk, and the man talks normal. What other kind of a sign do you want? I mean, how many is it going to take? You know, there's some people, you cast a demon out of a little boy, and he never said a word, and he's talking. You walk up to a man that's on a stretcher, and you cast a demon out, and the guy gets up and eats a sandwich. You know, I mean, you just go on and on and on, and you get up through about 10, and you take the woman, like up there in Grand Rapids, that all 3 days they brought her in on a pallet back there in the back, and then through that last day, she finally heard her sin. She repented of all sins. We prayed for that woman. She walked in 7 years after praying for her, get her up. And within a matter of a few minutes, this woman is running out the church, and she hadn't walked in 7 years. Somebody said, well, I'm not sure you're from God. Oh, I guess you thought that's me that did that. I done surgery on her, you know, there with my pocket knife and fixed her. Yeah, give me a break. You wouldn't want me to do surgery on you. The gentleman was up here a while ago said, I don't know why I'm shaking. You know, I kind of shake like that all the time, a lot. You know, really I do. That's just one of the, I've always been like that. In fact, one of the men that used to be one of the men that worked for me, my head lead down there at DFW Airport, one day I was trying to do something pretty tedious and I was having trouble holding the screwdriver to, you know, to hit that head on that screwdriver just right. And he said, Thurman, you missed your calling. I said, what do you mean? He said, you should have been a brain surgeon. I said, sure, I can't even hit the head of that screwdriver with a screw or with a Phillips screwdriver. I'm having trouble hitting it. And you think I need to be a brain surgeon? He said, yeah, you could have probably fixed them up real good. Yeah, I probably could have. But, you know, if you're going to be a brain surgeon, you need steady hands, right? Guarantee you need steady hands. But Jesus here, they said, they were trying to test him. We need a miraculous sign from heaven to prove that you're from God. I mean, just because that little boy spoke, you know, that's not a big deal. 17 and 18. He knew their thoughts. Now, wait, he knew what? You think he still knows your thoughts? You don't have to say anything out loud. I mean, just think, he knows your thoughts. And I made a statement to a young boy the other night. I said, you know, you went out and got a young girl pregnant. You told me you was a Christian. I said, you don't go to church. But I said, what if just I had been with you the night you was dating that girl? Would you have had sex with her with me watching you? He said, absolutely not. I said, but what if God's sitting there in the back seat saying, what are you doing to that girl? And you get her pregnant. I said, God, he knew what you were thinking before you even started messing with her. And then when you did what you did, he was right there watching you. And you're going to think you're going to get away with anything? I said, you know, when you learn that God is right there and you can't even think a bad thought, that he knows it. I said, it'll change your thought pattern. It'll change the way you do business. It'll change the way you treat people. Because you'll know that God, you can't get away with nothing. You can be driving down the road. And how many of us have done this? Somebody did something you didn't like, and you might have kept your peace and everything, but you're driving down the road a little later, and you even said, man, I didn't like what that guy did to me. Man, I don't like that guy at all. Have you ever said anything like that? Sure, we've all done those kind of stupid things. Who's sitting there right there with you, watching and listening to every word you said? The Lord, yeah. It says, if you say, I am powered, first it said he knew their thoughts, so he said, any kingdom at war within itself is doomed. A divided home is also doomed. Just like a man and woman in a house. If they can't be in agreement together, it's doomed. It can't make it. You know, that's why everybody needs to. I mean, I had a man write me an email. I haven't answered it yet. But it says, does God recognize a marriage before a justice of the peace or in a court? And when is it okay to divorce? You know, when I hear a Christian ask me statements like that, I think, you know, this man has one problem. He spends no time in that book. Because every answer he asks me is clearly laid out over and over again in the New Testament. So you want to know the answers? Read the book. I hadn't thought about that. That's how I'll answer that. Read the New Testament. You'll find your answer. Then you don't have to say, well, Thurman, I don't believe what Thurman says. When you see it in there, God said it, right? A lot of people want me to answer, and they look, well, I think he's nuts. And I answer it right out of the Word. But he's nuts. No, I ain't nuts. God said it, so that's it. He says, you say I am empowered by the prince of demons. But if Satan is fighting against himself by empowering me to cast out demons, how can his kingdom survive? That's true. 19 and 20. And if I am empowered by the prince of demons, what about your own followers? They cast out demons. So they will judge you for what you have said. Now, you know, you think about, they had people that did cast out demons. Obviously they did. He said they did. But if I am casting out demons by the power of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. And what really gets me is they were casting out demons before they had Jesus, and today we're the church and got all these promises, and we don't even believe in demons anymore. Have we gone the wrong direction? I believe we have. Now then, next two verses. For when Satan, who is completely armed, guards his palace, it is safe. Until, don't you like that? Until someone who is stronger attacks and overpowers him, strips him of his weapons, and carries off his belongings. How do you strip him of his power? How did Jack, since it's this testimony, how did Jack strip the devil of his weapons? He repented of his sins. Is that right? That's right. And then when you repent of your sin, as long as the devil has a sin and he knows there's a sin, you can't cast him out. I mean, I've had the devil in people, men and women both, tell me, you can't cast me out. I have legal right to be here. In fact, the first time that happened to me, a Baptist preacher called me one Sunday morning about 7 o'clock and asked me if I would meet him at 2 o'clock in Fort Worth at a certain place. He had a woman in his congregation that she was having all kinds of problems. Had her husband and 4 children. And she said she's had a hysterectomy. She's had all kinds of surgeries and everything else. And he said she's still got these back pains and stomach cramps and everything else. And he said, I believe her problem is spiritual. Well, he's on the right track. All your spiritual problems are spiritual. All of them. But he didn't know that at that time. So anyway, I went down there. And when I walked into that home that day, I had never met this woman in my life. And so when I walked in, I met the husband, the 4 boys, and her sister and brother-in-law. All kinds of people were there, but this woman, she wasn't there. So I talked to them a few minutes. I said, where is the lady I need to talk to? They said, well, she's in the bedroom. And I said, well, go get her. They went in, they tried to get her, and she wouldn't come out. And they said, well, she don't want to see you. I said, well, okay, let's pray, and let's take authority over these spirits. And now then, I said, now go back and get her, and she will come out. Now see, you do everything by faith. You don't say, now maybe she'll come out. You say, she will come out because I prayed. God's a faith God. He don't agree with nothing but total faith. And so anyway, they went in, they got her. When they pulled her, when they come out through that archway, her sister was on one side and her husband on the other side. And here's this woman with her head down like this, her hair hanging down her eyes. She's screaming, I hate you. I don't want you in my house. I mean, like I've said many a times, the normal Southern Baptist deacon would have been offended and he just left. But praise God, I wasn't normal. I told him, I said, bring her over here and set her down right there. I set her down in that chair and I knelt down in front of her on my knees and I reached up to touch her hair because her big old heavy hair was black and it was all hanging down in her face. I couldn't even see her face. And I was going to move her hair and she slapped me, bam, don't you touch me, I mean I'm going to hurt you. I said, no, you're not going to hurt me. I said, you got a devil. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command this demon of hell to come out of you in the name of Jesus. And she looked at me and she said, I ain't coming out because I have legal right to be here. I said, you're lying? You're a liar. I said, the word of God says, devil, you're a liar. I said, you got to come out. I'm boldly, forcefully commanding this devil to come out of this woman. And he said, I ain't coming out. So I said, okay, God. Now see, I'm new at this. I'm pretty new. This years ago, and I said, okay, God, I'm saying this silently. I'm not praying out loud. Okay, God, this devil's lying to me. I got a problem here. I mean, I'm doing what you sent me to do the best I know how. I'm commanding this devil to come out, and he ain't coming. I said, Lord, why is this devil not coming out? He's telling me he has legal right to be here, and I know that's a lie. I said, what's wrong with this situation? And the Lord spoke to me and said, son, he's there because I sent him. That was a new revelation to me. He's in there because you sent him in there? He said, yes, son, don't you remember what I said in Matthew 18, 21 through 35? If they don't forgive their brothers or everybody from their heart, I will send a tormenting spirit to torment thee. And said, that's our problem. I sent a demon. And he's in there because I sent him. And he ain't coming out until she repents. Well, boy, this is all brand new to me. I mean, man, I didn't learn this in Baptist church, let me tell you for sure. And so I said, okay. I said, who do you have unforgiveness from? Her husband said, oh, that's real simple, her first husband. Said, that guy said, you see them two biggest boys? That's hers and his. And said, that second one, when he was born, he run off and left her in the hospital, never helped her, never paid anything, and ain't never done nothing, never give her no child support, nothing. She's hated him with a passion ever since. That sounds logical, doesn't it? You know, a woman been abused like this, you ought to be able to hold an unforgiveness toward an idiot like that. But what does God say? No, no, can't do it. No, can't do it. And what did it cost her? A tormenting spirit, surgery, pain, suffering, all these things. And so then I say, okay. I said, you've got to repent and forgive that man. And she says, no, I will never forgive him. I said, ma'am, this devil has ruined your life up to now. You've allowed that unforgiving spirit to kill you. And I said, you already gone through the surgery and everything. I said, you have to forgive him. I said, all you got to do is repeat after me. Say, I so-and-so, I forgive so-and-so from my heart in the name of Jesus. I drug that out of her word by word. When I finally got that, I so-and-so, forgive so-and-so from my heart in the name of Jesus. I said, now you devil of hell, You have no legal claim to her. You heard her say she forgive. I said, out in the name of Jesus. Bam. He just left that quick. I mean, he never said a word. He was gone. She swung her head around. She looked at me and I said, now, woman. A few minutes ago, I said, what you need, woman, is Jesus. No, I don't want nothing to do with him. Now, who was that talking? A devil. That wasn't her. It was the devil. But I cast, after she repented, and I cast that devil out, I said, now, ma'am, what you need, Jesus. She jumped, said, yes, yes, I want Jesus. And I thought, wow, what a difference. And so, you know, I mean, this woman, she accepted Jesus. I led her into the kingdom of God. I laid hands on her for healing and everything. Jesus delivered her. He saved her, and he healed her all the same day. And then that woman, of course, I'm still a little leery of all this. You know, you have to be on your, you know, guard all the time. But I'm still down on my knees, and all of a sudden she starts to lunge like that. When I do, man, I jump up 90 miles an hour, and she just jumps and grabs me, hugs me, kisses me on the cheek. She said, I want you to pray for my boys. And I thought, wow, a few minutes ago this woman was a mean. She's going to kill me. And now she's kissing me on the cheek and wants me to pray for her boys. And so I did. I prayed for her boys. I did everything. Now, what was the problem with her? A demon. That woman was healed. I mean, when I left her that day with that Baptist preacher, when we left, we walked outside. As soon as we shut the door, he said, oh, God, Lord, if I'd have had a video camera. He said, Lord, I've never seen nothing like this in my life. He said, if I had a camera. He said, Thurman, you were so forceful with that devil and you were so gentle with that woman. He said, I ain't never seen nothing like this in my life. I said, well, God sent you to see this. So you'll learn. But anyway, the next day I thought, well, I got the man's phone number. I thought, well, I'll call him and see how things are going at his house. I called and said, sir, this is Thurman Scrivener. I wasn't a pastor at that time. I was still just working. I said, this is Thurman Scrivener. I said, I'd just like to check with you and see how you and your wife and everything are doing. He said, Thurman, the most awesome change I've ever seen. He said, yesterday after you left, my wife hadn't been out of the house in weeks except to go to the doctor. She just won't go out. He said, she said, you know, I feel so good. Why don't we go shopping? And so she said, I put all four of the boys and me and her, and they had a big dually pickup there, big four-door deal. He said, we went shopping. He said, when we got back shopping, the boys come to me and said, Daddy, this ain't our mama. Said, mama ain't never been this loving and kind. Now, why was she not loving and kind? All those years since that second little boy, she'd had a demon, a tormenting spirit. And so she wasn't very lovable. But when those demons all left, that loving, sweet spirit that God can put in her changed that woman's life forever. And these boys are seeing their mother for the first time without demons. And she's a loving sweetheart. But for them to go to Daddy and say, Daddy, this woman is not our mother. That much change. Isn't that amazing how much change it can make when you don't have a demon? Somebody said, I don't believe I can have a demon. Well, if you don't believe you got one, you got one. I can tell you for sure. Until someone is stronger and attacks and overpowers him, strips him of his weapons and carries off his belongings, whenever you get somebody to repent of their sin, you've just stripped the devil of his weapons. I mean, now he's a pushover now. Once he has no weapons, he has no legal claim, then when you speak in faith in the name of Jesus, they have to leave and they go away. And you cleanse her house. Let's go to the next verse, 23 and 24. Anyone who isn't helping me opposes me. So are you and me helping Jesus today? Are we for him or against him? We better be for him. And anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. So if we don't believe there's demons, I mean, we're working against him, aren't we? Yeah. If we don't believe we can heal the sick, we're working against him. You know, it's amazing. When an evil spirit leaves a person, now, why did that spirit leave? Because he commanded it, right? He said, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert searching for rest. But when it finds none, in other words, that devil's going around, I can just see him now. He goes up and he said, well, there's Joel. Ain't got no sins in him. There's Lori. Ain't no sins in her either. Let me... until he finds somebody. And then if he looks all through the area and all he can find is a bunch of good Christians just walking obedient, he says, I can't find nobody got no sin in their life. I know what I'll do. Let me go back to the house I was cast out of. When an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert searching for rest. But when it finds none, I will return to the person to whom I came from. So he goes back to that person. Let's see what happens to that person. And when it returns and finds that its former home is all swept and clean. Woo! Nice cleaned out. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there, and so that person is worse off than before. Now see, again, I'm going to use you as an example, Jack. We throwed that devil out of you, and you got healed. And a few days later, you've done a little sin of some kind, and that devil probably by this time, he's only been able to pick up one or two extra ones. And he's got them back over, and he said, ah, there's Jack. He just said, you see that boy? He just left. Woo! Like, grab these three and said, let's get in him. And so the symptoms came back. And now Jack's got to know now. Sure. And so you repent of that sin and command them to leave in the name of Jesus, and they go away. Isn't that simple? God made this thing so simple that once you see this, you think, wow, this is so simple, God. But he didn't make it hard. But if you don't study this book, you can't never figure this out. You can't figure it out how it works. But in, what we got, two more scriptures, 27 and 28. And as he was speaking, a woman in the crowd called out, God bless your mother, the womb from which you came, and the breast that nursed you. And here's his reply. But even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice. If you hear his words and you put his words in practice, is it going to bless you, Jack?
Yes,
it has blessed your socks off to obey him and to do what he says, hadn't it?
Amen.
I mean, here's a man that was sick and afflicted. I mean, a Southern Baptist, just like I was a Southern Baptist, went to church, loved God, did everything he knew was right, but didn't know that little sins have consequences. And they open the door to demons. And whenever he got the first one taken care of and his back got healed, and then the other day when he finally got fed up by being sick and tired of having allergies, we got rid of those and kicked those devils out and God healed him. And then, of course, they're still lumbering along out there saying, let's just see if you're going to walk clean and holy before the King. And as long as you walk in obedience to the Word, them devils finally, after a long, long time, they say, well, we can't get through to him no more. Let's go over here and see if we can get a hold of her. They'll look for somebody else, won't they? So you and me need to be on our toes all the time, don't we? All the time. And when we sin, we open the door. And when we sin, they come in. And, of course, if you happen to get one cast out of you, and then you don't say, well, I'm going to go back to church. I'm going to start reading the Word of God. I'm going to ask the Lord to fill me every day with the Holy Ghost. You don't do nothing. You just keep up everything as usual. I ain't going to church next Sunday. I ain't got time to read the Word. I ain't got time to believe in that Holy Ghost stuff. And the devil comes back and says, oh, man, that house is all swept nice and clean. Ain't nobody living in there. So I'll just go back in there. But since it's so nice and clean, I had it cluttered up before. But now since it's so nice and clean, he runs out there and he says, oh, there's seven other buddies that he found was more wicked than himself. He says, come on, boys, come on. Go back in this one with me. And the Jesus himself said, and the second state of that person is worse than the first. Isn't that something? Is it all written right here in the Word? Acts 19, 11 through 20, and then we'll quit. Acts 19, I want to get through these demons. I only had a couple set of scriptures. As many as there are, I wondered why I only got two. Now I know. You know, because, but it's okay. It's okay. Acts 19, 11 through 20. Acts 19, 11 through 20. Demons. God gave Paul the power to do unusual miracles. Is Paul the only one God gave the ability to do unusual miracles? No. He's technically given all that power to all of us. We just don't believe it. That's our problem. So that even when handkerchiefs or cloths that had touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases, and any evil spirit within them came out. I think of a couple. I went to see a deliverance ministry after I began to learn about deliverance. I went to see a deliverance ministry, and there was a man and woman, and they've been in the business a long time. And they were telling me, I was sitting there talking to him. There was only about 100 people in the whole church. The church would hold 1,200 people, and about 100 of them came to this ministry. So I drove all the way to Houston to be in it. And so I was amazed that there were so few people that came. especially since it was three churches went together to have this, and only 100 total people showed up. I was there for 3 days, never more than 100 people. But anyway, I was just amazed at how God's people, they just not interested in deliverance and healing until they get sick. But anyway, this man, I was sitting there talking to him about these things, and he said, yeah, let me tell you what we did one time. Said a lady from England heard about our ministry. And she had a little grandson that was born with lungs undeveloped and no hip bone. Now, this little girl we saw a while ago, what did she not have? No arms. You know, I mean, you can be born without certain parts in your body. But this grandmother, she wrote a letter to this couple and said, if you and your team will pray and anoint this cloth. She sent them a little piece of cloth in a letter. She said, I know if you and your team will anoint this little cloth with oil and you'll pray over this and ask God to do a supernatural miracle on my grandson, I know God will heal my grandson. Now, you hear any faith in that woman's declaration?
Yes.
Oh, man. She sent it to this couple. They got that letter. She said, we got that out there. They had 4, 5, 6 people working for them just like we do, people, prayer warriors. And all of them got together. They put a little oil on that little piece of cloth, and all of them laid hands, every one of them, laid hands and asked God to do a supernatural miracle on that child when that grandmother laid that piece of cloth on that child. And they sent it back through the mail all the way to England. When they got there, the grandmother got it. She took it out, went in there, and laid it on the chest of her little grandson. And said, Lord, thank you for giving him new lungs and a new hip bone. That's all she did. Well, they have socialized medicine in England. So a few weeks later, it was time to bring the little boy back, and they took him in there, and the doctor, when he checked him, he said, just take an x-ray of the lungs and the hip and all that stuff. And the nurse did, and she brought it in and said, here it is. And he looked at it and said, wrong child. Wrong child. Ain't nothing wrong with this child. This is some other child. She said, no, sir. This is the same child that had no hip, and the lungs were not developed. He said, it can't be. So he went back, looked at the child. He looks normal. He goes and finds the x-ray. Said, this x-ray, that child? She said, yes. So they do another x-ray, and no problem with the lungs, no problem with the hip. The bone is totally there, and the little boy is totally normal. Now, when we do things in faith, what can our God do? The church has got to get over this unbelief stuff. We've got to get to the point where we believe God, and we've got to get to the point where we believe that these demons are our problem. And you don't have to worry about demons. Let me close on one. Let's see, where was I going there? We got. Oh, I ain't down through the rest of them. Let me get these, and then I'll go to this last verse. Okay, after this here, 13 and 14, let's go and see what happened here. A team of Jews who were traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits, tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus. You notice they tried. You don't never try this, because when you do it, let's see what happens. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus. The incantations they used was this: I command you by Jesus whom Paul preaches to come out. 7 sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. Now, 7 of these big boys, 15 and 16. But when they tried it, you notice he keeps saying, when they tried, didn't do it. You don't ever see where Jesus tried, do you? Jesus cast the demon out. They tried to cast the demon out. On a man possessed by an evil spirit, the spirit replied, I know Jesus. And I know Paul. But who are you? Isn't it amazing what them devils know? They know if you have faith or not, don't they? And the man leaped on them and attacked them, 7 of them, with such violence that they fled from the house naked and badly injured. I mean, this one man tore their clothes off of them totally, completely, and left all of these men, 7 of them, one man stripped their clothes, ripped them off of them, and then probably took his big old fingernails and just left these guys bleeding and naked. Can you imagine what you had thought if you went to church and all of a sudden there was 7 men that had been in here in suits that was going to try to cast a demon out of a little boy or girl, and all of a sudden they didn't have any authority. They didn't have a clue who they were. They were trying this, and this demon jumped on these 7 big men, and they go running out the door out there, and they're stripped naked, totally, blood running out of them and everything else, screaming, what would you think about this church? I ain't never coming back this place. But is that what happened? That's exactly what happened. Let's see what 17 and the story of what happened spread quickly all through Ephesus to Jews and Greeks alike. I can understand this. A solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. You don't try to use my name, boys. You walk holy before me, and you use my name in faith. Many who became believers confessed their sinful practices. 19 and 20. A number of them who had been practicing magic brought their incantation books and burned them at a public bonfire. The value of the books was several million dollars. So the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. Now see, when we cast a demon out of somebody, you got to believe it's going to work. You, when you get your sins repented of, just like that little girl out there in Silver City, I mean, she thought she had every sin confessed. And when I said, no problem, you know, I'll just, now that you've confessed every sin, I'll just command these demons not to manifest, and I'll command them to come out, and they will. And I said, in the name of Jesus, come out. But they didn't. I mean, the woman went wild. You know, I mean, I've seen things like I'd never seen before in my life. I mean, this little woman in her mid-30s just went absolutely wild. And that demon says, I'm not coming out. I have legal right to be here. Again, I said, you're lying. He said, I am not. I have legal right to be here. And I said, okay, and then in the name of Jesus, I command you to tell me why you have legal right to be there. And he said, this blankety-blank woman, which I would never repeat the words he used out of her mouth, this blankety-blank woman allowed me to come in 24 years ago when she joined the Rainbow Girls, an organization she joined that's not of God, that's an offshoot of the Masonic Lodge for women. You know, when you go into all these little lodges and things, you have to be careful because when they give, whenever they take oaths to the devil, that's not of God. And so, but people don't know. But so that opened the door, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit. And of course, whenever I did, I said, how many of you devils are in there? Now this is a kicker. He said, there's only 2,823 of us in here. They knew exactly to the last man how many was in there. I said, so in the name of Jesus, then, I will call her up and I'll have her to repent of that sin. And this is what that devil did. He said, I am so interwoven in her brain. I will never allow her to confess that sin. You will never be able to cast me out. I said, so then I will use John 20:23. I will remit her sins, and then I will cast you out. And she come across that table and spit right in my face and said, almost nobody knows that verse. And those that have read it don't believe it. I said, but I know it, and I believe it. So in the name of Jesus, according to John 20:23, I'm laying that sin of that Rainbow Girls at the foot of the cross. I am repenting for this girl. Then I said, now you devils of hell, come out of her in the name of Jesus. And they started coming out. I said, how many's in there now? 2,600. I said, come out. 1,400, 1,200, 500, down finally to 4. But this is 5 hours later, 6 hours later. It wasn't over that quick. At the total of 7.5 hours, with Cheryl holding one side of her down, Dave on her feet on the back, and me laying on top of this woman, holding her down, commanding demons to come out, I looked over the clock and I said, God, I got to be preaching an hour. I said, when's this going to be over? And this just calm. I mean, the king's never excited. You know that? He never gets excited. I mean, here I've been having more fun than I ever had in my life, you know, 7.5 hours casting 2,800 demons out of a little woman. And the Lord says, it's going to be over when you believe it's over. In other words, I'm a faith God. Until you believe it's done, it ain't going to happen. So, man, I grabbed her one more time. I said, in the name of Jesus, this is it, devil. You're all coming out. I ain't going to do this again. In the name of Jesus, it's over. You're all out and you ain't never come back in there. In the name of Jesus, go. And I jumped up off her and I said, get up, woman, you're delivered. Cheryl's sitting there by her side. Dave's holding her feet down and she looks up at me and blinks a couple times. She says, where am I? What am I doing up here in y'all's bed? She looked up at Cheryl. She looked down at Dave. I said, woman, you're delivered. Is God a faith God? Does he demand we do what we do in faith? What was this little woman's problem? 2,823 demons that came in over the years because she had joined the Rainbow Girls. This woman had a gnarling pain in her stomach the last couple of years. This demons had not manifested until the last 2 years. But in the last 2 years, she'd already had 4 babies. But now in the last 2 years, she's got this gnarling pain in her stomach she cannot get rid of. Doctors can't find it. And it's demons. When I cast those demons out of her, she was healed of everything. Now, how could I have done that? A whole lot faster. If I'd have just looked in devil's eye and I said, devil, now I'm going to repent of her sins. I'm going to lay her sins at the foot of the cross. And then I'm going to cast you out and I'm going to speak one time and every one of you is going to go and it's going to be done in the name of Jesus. And if I'd have done that in faith, what would they have had to done? Every one of them would have had to have left. Because who's backing me up? The King. That's right. When Jesus said, boys, did y'all see what my son said? Do you know that he's my representative on earth? And when he said that in total faith, you boys are out of here. Get out. Go leave. And it's that simple, isn't it? When the King tells them to go, what do? They go. Now, what was their problem? Demons. Is demons the problem back here? 2,000 years ago when we're reading about it? Is demons still the problem? Now then, today as a church, we wrap up with a couple of scriptures. The church, let's go to Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, and let's see how much power Jesus gave you and me as his children over the devil. Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, you'll find out how much power Jesus gave you. And he said, and I have given you authority over how much? All the power of the enemy. And you can walk among the snakes, the devil, and the scorpions, his demons, and you can crush them, and nothing will injure you. Amen. Is that good news for a Christian? But don't rejoice just because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered as citizens of heaven. We ought to be telling everybody everywhere we go. Just like I talked to a young man down here the other day about 2 or 3 things, and I said, you're a Christian? Yeah. Do you go to church? Well, not very much. I said, what a shame. I said, you haven't seen God do any miracles or no healings, have you? What? I said, you didn't even know that's available, did you? No. I said, let me tell you about a couple of things I've seen God do. Wow. Of course, I said, I know you're working here. You've got to go back to work, so I'm not going to take a lot of your time. But I said, what do you think about these things I've told you? I'm going to go home tonight and read my Bible. I said, I think that'll make the King happy, don't you? See? So see, when somebody learns what's available and how God can work through you, it'll whet their appetite to go home and open the Word of God and study it. You know? I mean, I think of Scott and Kim up here and these 3 wonderful little children they got when they learned these promises come in here. I mean, they stand on these promises and they got 3 kids that don't ever get sick no more. Of course, they don't get sick no more either. They stand on God's promises. But Scott's learned as a man of the house, he's got to be an obedient son of God. You got to walk in obedience to the Word and do what it says. Now then, he says that we have all this power. And then let's go to Mark 16, 17 and 18 and see what the King commanded us to do to these devils. Mark 16, 17 and 18. These signs will accompany those who believe. Are you a believer?
Yes.
You will cast out demons in my name. You will speak in new languages. You will be able to handle the devil, snakes, with safety. And if you drink anything poisonous, it will not hurt you. You will be able to place your hands on the sick and heal them. I mean, almost nobody in the church believes these promises. I mean, they're there. And then that last scripture is 1 John 5:18. 1 John 5:18, I want you to see what God says the devil can do to you if you obey him. In 1 John 5:18, we know that those who have become part of God's family do not make a practice of sinning. In other words, you're supposed to go to church when you become a Christian. You're supposed to read his word every day. You're supposed to talk to him every day. You're supposed to worship and praise the King every day. Not on Sunday. Every day. He wants you 24/7. Is that right? Absolutely. God wants you 24/7. He says, you do not make a practice of sinning, for God's Son holds them securely. and the evil one cannot get his hands on them. In other words, if you don't make a practice of sinning, if you walk holy, just like Jack told us, we just keep laying it on him today since he had this great testimony. He got healed on Sunday, and a few days later when he sinned, what happened to it? What did the devil come back to? Did he come back? Now, but as soon as he confessed and repented, he had to leave again, didn't he? But you ain't going to sin no more, are you, Jack? Isn't that amazing when we get a hold of this? How many times does God have to give me and you a whipping before we finally learn? Isn't that sad? But that's the way God works. And some of us get lots of whippings. I had too many. I don't want no more. I want to walk holy and obedient so I can walk in divine health. Don't you, Joseph?
Amen.
Say amen. So, you see there, if you don't practice any, what can this devil do to you?
Nothing.
He can't touch you. And if you have, this last scripture, I said that was the last one, but James chapter 4, verse 7. James 4:7, when God brings things like this to my attention, I just have to go get that. We'll get through in just a minute. Humble yourself before God. In other words, submit yourself to God, the King James says. What does submit mean? Obey Him. If He tells you to submit to Him, obey Him, then what can you do? When you submitted yourself to God, when you obeyed, when you repented and you resisted the devil, and what did he do? He fled. And you didn't have to have that problem no more. Isn't God's Word wonderful? Father, I thank You for Your wonderful Word. I thank You for all these wonderful testimonies You had today, Lord. Oh, it brought glory and honor to Your name. You're such a mighty God. Now, Lord, I ask You to move on our hearts that we will listen to Your Word. We will obey Your Word. We will do what You say, and we will begin to prepare. And as we're preparing for what You're doing, the wrath of God that's falling upon this world, we will repent of all of our sins and walk holy in Your presence so Your wrath will not fall on us. So we won't have to worry about it. We'll see 1,000 fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it will not touch us because we are making You, the Most High God, our dwelling place. We're loving You and worshiping You and praising You, Master. Thank You, Lord, for showing us, talking to us, telling us what to do, how to prepare, and what You want us to do and everything, so we will be those lights in all these places that You'll want us to be, so we can help those that's not so fortunate to walk holy and obedient to Your Word. So when the wrath of God falls upon them, we'll be there to pick up the pieces, to help them, to bring them into the kingdom, to get them saved and healed so they can become Your children, because You want all people to be saved. Use us for Your glory. And I praise You and thank You, Lord, for being our God and our Lord. And Lord, I'm so grateful that we know You as our Lord and Savior. Now this week as we go forth, Lord, use us for Your glory. Use us mightily for Your glory. Use us, Lord, to tell people about You, to pray for people, to walk holy, so when we do pray for people, Lord, You will be able to answer our prayer and do great and wonderful things for people. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.